We've read these verses a couple of times, but we want to go back to it. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at the objects of God's love. Today we're going to examine how this love is demonstrated by God. I think He makes it very clear. This is what separates genuine biblical Christianity from every other religion of men. God, the Eternal One, sent His only begotten Son to give His life for people that did not deserve it, who were sinners and enemies and rebels against the government of God and the law of God. He sent His Son to die in their stead, to appease His wrath, to satisfy all the claims of His own justice and holiness. And Christ died for our sins. They laid Him in a tomb. And just like He said, after 3 days, He rose again from the dead, and He gives eternal life to all who believe on Him. What a powerful message. It's the only message that conveys this idea that you can't achieve salvation. It's not something that you can earn or work for. In fact, you have to look outside of yourself entirely, because it's not within you to make yourself right or acceptable to God. You have to look to God's appointed sacrifice, the appointed means, Jesus Christ the Lord. And this is the single greatest demonstration of love in all the world. God sent His only begotten Son, who was the chief object of His affections. Spent a whole message showing that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit dwelt in perfect harmony and love before anything existed, before time, matter, space, creation existed. God dwelt in love. And God sent the chief object of His love into the world to die in the stead of those who are the objects of His eternal love. And it may bring to mind a question: why would God send His Son, the fairest jewel of heaven, the one who was altogether lovely, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, the Holy One, the Just One, the Desire of the nations. Why would He be sent to demonstrate His love? Because it's the only way that the justice of God could be satisfied. Because God is light. Remember, we read that. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all, meaning that He is absolutely and essentially, intrinsically holy from all eternity. Because God is light, His justice required that every sin must be punished by the execution of His holy wrath against sin. God's love could not be expressed at the expense of His justice and righteousness and holiness. Sinners cannot be saved merely because God loved them. No. A perfect sacrifice had to be offered. There's only one person in the entire universe qualified to make that happen, to make people right with God, and it's God's only begotten Son. And it's expressed in what many would probably say is the most famous verse of the New Testament. A lot of people put the emphasis on the word world, but the emphasis is on the word so. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It shows you the magnitude of God's love, that He would send His only begotten Son. Someone had to bear the punishment and the wrath that God's perfect holiness and justice required. And a sinner couldn't do it. A sinner cannot die in the place of other sinners because they both deserve punishment. It would not be an acceptable sacrifice. It would be defiled by Adam's sin, original sin and the expression of sin, law-breaking, evil, ungodliness. A sinner can't save other sinners. This is quite a quandary for anybody that is in a cult. You know, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe that. They believe He's a created being, that He has a finite existence. You cannot receive eternal life from someone who's not eternal. Christ is the only one that could satisfy the claims of justice. He had to bear the penalty of sin in order for God's love to be extended to His people. It's the only way. And it's such a brilliant solution and remedy to man's problem. The religions of men, they've devised 100 other ways to supposedly be made right with God. But there's only one way. And what a radical, I don't know why, I'm really, everything's radical today with me. I've been using that word a lot. I guess I'm a radical. What can I say? But what a powerful statement by Christ. when he says this with no apology, without any hesitation, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Definite article. I am the only way. I am the epitome of truth. Truth personified. I am the way to life eternal. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Exclusive. One way. And Jesus said it. I'm going to take the word of Jesus over every false religious prophet, preacher, priest, pope. Jesus is the way. Like the first Baptist preacher, John, when he saw Jesus coming, John the Baptist, he said, behold the Lamb of God, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices. That's why he used the expression, the Lamb of God. This is God's ultimate and only sacrifice that will put away, take away, purge the sins of his people throughout the entire world. He pointed to Christ as the only one. He didn't point him to the waters of baptism. He didn't point him to a church building or to a preacher. He pointed him to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Preachers need to preach that. We need gospel preachers in our day and age who preach Christ crucified, buried, and risen again as the only way to God, the only way to be accepted in the Beloved, the only way to be complete in Christ before the Lord. It's in Jesus Christ alone. In fact, John, if you look over in chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do you perceive? How do you understand? How do you see the love of God demonstrated? God's only begotten Son laid down his life voluntarily for people who were only worthy of death and damnation. Man, that's love. You know, scarcely would a good man die. I mean, we have heroes that die for others, but only Christ died to save sinners. God loved his people with such an infinite love. Think about this. Let this sink in. This love was so strong, so majestic, so powerful, so infinite, that he sent the very person who he loved the most to identify with the objects of his love, to suffer in their stead. That ought to humble us. That ought to move us to think about God with a sense of awe and wonder and worship. That he would give his only begotten Son to die for sinners so that they would be made right and receive his righteousness so they could have eternal life and dwell with him. God was in Christ The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, never had a thought of sin, never spoke a word of sin, never did a deed of sin. And yet all the sins of God's people who would ever believe on Him throughout all of human history, throughout all the world, He heaped their sins upon this one who never, ever tasted sin or expressed it in any way, shape, or form. Our sins were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The weight, the burden of every wicked sin you've ever committed was laid upon Christ. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. Every evil thought, every lust, every lie, every hateful, cruel thing you've ever done, every thought of foolishness, laziness, dishonoring your parents, idolatry, profaning the Lord's day, using God's name in vain, having thoughts of murder, stealing, committing adultery. Coveting. Every one of those wicked sins. And those were just the ones I could name right off the top of my head. You got a lot more. So do I. And they were laid upon Christ. The only one capable of satisfying God's eternal justice and wrath against sin. He is the propitiation, the way of appeasement. See, He's the one that in His body on the tree had to bear the full weight of God's justice and the wrath that it called for. The sword of God's eternal justice came down upon the worthy head of Jesus Christ. And He suffered on the cross the equivalent of what I would deserve throughout all eternity if I died without Christ in the lake of fire. And you know what Jesus did on my... He extinguished all of the wrath. Instead of it falling upon me, as it should have, it all fell on Him. And because of that, I'm liberated. I'm freed from the condemnation, the judgment, the wrath that I deserved because He died in my place. I love that I think it was Alistair Begg that gave the illustration of the thief on the cross. And the thief on the cross knew absolutely no theology. And when he said when he got to heaven, when he entered into God's kingdom, if there was a conversation that transpired, "Why are you here? You're a thief. You're a lawbreaker. What are you doing here in heaven?"
And he said, well, the man on the middle cross said I could come. It's the only reason. Not because of anything that I've done, because I'm a thief. I'm a lawbreaker. I deserve to die. But Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's the transaction. He took my sins, and in exchange, He gave me His righteousness. And that's what makes me acceptable to God. With all of my flaws, which are many, and all of the sins that I've committed, I don't deserve to go to heaven. But if and when they ask me, what are you doing here? Jesus, the man on the middle cross, said, come. Because He died for me. He was buried. He rose again for me. That message has changed my life in such a profound and miraculous way. He gave Himself. And you know, throughout the book of Romans, you find this truth, how God demonstrated His love. Romans chapter 3 and verse, everybody quotes verse 24, but we ought to go back to verse 23. Because it expresses a truth that literally hardly anybody ever really believes anymore. You can't find sinners today. Everybody thinks they're like Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. Fact is, everybody's broken, corrupt, sinful. And boy, when a preacher actually throws that cold water out there, wait, I don't like that. That's the truth. Here's what the book says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me break it. You don't measure up. You're not good enough. God requires perfection. That's why you have to look to Christ. The next verse says, being justified freely. This is not earned. God's demonstration of love is that Christ died. The gift is, we merely receive eternal life as a gift of God. It's not earned. Being justified freely by His grace. Hallelujah. What a grace. One of the greatest words in all the Bible. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, the one who was set apart to suffer and in that suffering appease the wrath of God and reconcile sinners to God. Whom God has set forth to be approved. How dare anybody say, if God is the one that set forth Christ as the appeaser of sin, the propitiation of sin, how dare somebody to say that your sins are forgiven by water? By some magical qualities in H2O that you sprinkle on a baby. Come on! Now Christ is the only way of propitiation. Through faith in His blood, His sacrifice, His life, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The perfect solution. And he says, where is boasting then? If you believe the truth about God's demonstration of love, there's no boasting on your part. You didn't offer anything to make it happen, except for that which condemned you, your sins. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Legalism, dead. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him, because the wrath was extinguished through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, brought back into His good favor, we were estranged, we were the offenders. But the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the giving of His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, brings us back to God. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That's a demonstration of God's love. Oh, we can't leave out chapter 8, can we? Huh? We can't leave that out, Ed. Look over chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes and every conceivable thing that men think of that could possibly separate us from the love of Christ, none of them. He ends, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was a perfect work, a perfect sacrifice that secured the eternal salvation of all whom it was intended for. All who would ever come to faith, they'll be secure throughout all eternity. When God does a work, you don't have to add anything to it. We are complete in Him. And in order to see God's demonstration and manifestation of this, His nature of love, you have to see it through the cross. You have to see it through Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice on the cross. This is the greatest demonstration of love
ever expressed in time or eternity. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I'm so glad today that God opened my eyes to see that Christ and Christ alone is God's demonstration of love for poor sinners who deserve nothing more than eternity in hell. I hope you know the Lord today. Josh gave the devotion and he quoted Matthew 11, come unto me, Jesus said, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the only place that you'll find peace with God, is in God's demonstration of love in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Let's all stand.
Page 323.